Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of What Most People Think. And it is somehow already the end of February. So take a note, January, keep it tight. You know, it's like a comedian doing a tight 20. February is just, it's just in and out. It doesn't hang around too long. Not much really happens. There's Valentine's Day. It gets marginally warmer. And I want to welcome my guest this week, Dominic Frisby. And so are you a February fan, Dom? I mean, you like a lean, small state. Do you like a lean month?
It's certainly an efficient month in terms of the number of days. It shows the other months what's possible.
It does mean that certain bills come around quicker, though. There's that.
That is true. I think the worst month is actually March, because you think it's spring in your head and it isn't. It's still, the weather's still really wintry. And I think that's when, you know, you really start beating yourself up and go, will I ever see the sun again? So I think I'm more anti-March than February.
Interest. Anti-March. That's the first time I've really thought of March in that way. I think you're absolutely right. It doesn't even have... I mean, sometimes Easter pops up in March. Like, it's just... You know, like when they move a program in the schedule just before it's about to get cancelled. It's like a last throw of the dice. We're going to try, guys. We're going to try it in March. We're going to go post-watershed. We think Jesus with swear words could be a bit better. And then you go, right, Easter's not happening anymore. And it's going to be something hosted by KSI.
I think more importantly, and the anti-March propaganda, is I was born in September, so March would be Pisces. And as a Virgo, I just don't get on with Pisces.
Are you really into that?
No, not in the slightest.
Oh, thank God for that. It's just, do you know, every once in a while with a mate, you suddenly find out that they are into stuff like that, and you have to just double check. I'm not saying it's unmanly to believe... Astrology. Is it astrology?
I am susceptible to a tarot card reader.
You mean like if she's got a sort of sexy, sort of like gypsy look about her?
Yeah, and she just holds your hand and says you're going to get a Radio 4 series. Then,
I mean, if she's doing that and also is a Radio 4 commissioner, then I think that's...
Even better.
That's generally perceived to be a good sign. You've been to something called the ARC conference, which was in the UK.
The Association of Responsible Citizenship, or the Alliance of something of Responsible Citizenship.
So this is seen to be, so it sounds quite broad, but it's also seen to be quite a conservative, small c conservative endeavour. Well, did you see any interesting speakers there? Did Kemi rock up?
Kemi was there, and it's very much big C and small c conservative, and also big C Christian.
Right.
It's quite religious. And I went there, and tickets, Jeff, are 1,500 quid. I didn't pay that.
Well, yeah, exactly. That was the next thing. So I was immediately thinking, who comped you? I bet it's some millionaire that goes to Comedy Unleashed, wasn't it?
I played the I'm from the press card. I played the Dominic Frisby financial writer from Money Week card. But if you think CPAC, that's the conference, the conservative conference going on in the States at the moment, that is... $95, and you get Elon Musk and Javier Milei and Donald Trump and JD Vance. That's quite good value for money.
The high profile figures, although I defy anybody who is even a fan of Elon Musk to watch some of the clips of him sort of showing off and pretending to be a rock star and not cringe slightly. I mean, the chainsaw thing was a bit on the nose, and he tried to do this funny line, I am become meme. I just find him a difficult person to watch talk.
He shared my song and it got 50 million views, so I'm not hearing any bad words.
Listen, you can absolutely... I want that
balance. I've got to say, Jeff, I think Elon Musk is a hero. if you want to be serious for a second, I think I don't think anything like what's going on there would have happened had he not got involved 6 months ago.
But I'm responding in a visceral human way. I'm responding to the person. The ideas for me and the person are okay. Separate things. It's just an instinctive thing. When I see him, I think he'd have been one of those lads in sixth form where I might have stole his stuff just to piss him off. You know what I mean? Like, it's just an instinctive reaction to him as a man. JD Vance, so I spoke last week. So Vance stood up at the European Security Conference and he gave Europe quite a telling off. Now, I sort of popped off at him on last week's podcast. What I meant was rather, like, I didn't disagree with a lot of what he said. What it triggered in me was that defensive thing of, you know, when you've got problems in your own family and you know you've got problems and someone else points it out, you know, well, two, you can fuck off and all, mate. So to the listeners that got upset about that, it wasn't a complete... I mean, I suppose the context in which he said it, it was kind of like, I sort of thought we were talking about Russian tanks possibly rolling across into Eastern and Baltic states, and then it was about free speech. So that was an issue, but it was also just born of defensiveness.
Okay, well, again, I didn't hear your comments, and I'm sure you're being misrepresented, smeared, and quoted out of context, because that's what people always do. But I like JD Vance, and I think he's a hero.
Well, so this is good. This is why this is a good week to have you on, because I can placate some of those angry people. One of those things I would say about him is I saw a clip of him talking about young men and you know, the right being a place that appreciates young men. Mm-hmm. And I thought, is he a bit of a heartthrob in the States? Because he's quite a masculine type figure. He's got quite solid, old-fashioned conservative vibes. He talks in a very composed way. I mean, I haven't heard anything about loads of women crushing on him, but he seems to have all the kind of artillery where that is a possibility.
Probably. I mean, I think he's quite religious. I think he's quite Christian. And so he's probably got, I was going to say lustful, but it's probably not the right word, the sort of adoring Christian woman. He's like the ideal man.
Oh, do you think they bake him lots of stuff? Like everywhere he goes, they're just bringing him frozen lasagnas.
They express their love through cake.
I reckon it's like, you know, like the hot vicar in Fleabag. I reckon there's lots of women that want to corrupt him as well.
Probably. But his wife, when I watched the inauguration, his wife's Indian, I think, but she was just beautiful, I thought. I mean, talk about lusting after him. I'm lusting after the wife.
I'm sorry, Dom, we cannot have that. You know, in the modern media environment, we're only allowed to say objectification things about men.
I lust after them as a couple.
Yeah, I think that's all right. Now you're back into progressive territory. You're trying to throttle the shit out of them. Do you know what I saw the other day on my iPhone roll? This is how bored I was. Could have been reading a book, was just looking at old photos. I saw a screenshot that I'd taken of the Metro when Starmer got in, and they'd run a story saying, admit it, you find Daddy Downing Street smoking hot. And I sort of forgot that had happened, actually. And it is kind of funny. There is that sort of blind spot on the left. Like, because it's basically, how is that any different to when the Mail had that photo of Theresa May and Nicola Sturgeon when forget Brexit, how about Lexit? Which, let's be honest, they shouldn't have done it, but it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. The subjects this week are, there's so much going on in the US that is very sexy and seductive to talk about, but this is a British podcast. So we're going to talk about Starmer going to the White House. I mean, it does still involve the US. We're going to talk about how he must be feeling, the stress of that endeavor. I also want to pick Dom's brain about Doge. What Musk is doing over there in terms of government efficiency. Dom is a small state libertarian. I've got a hunch of how you might feel about that, but also how that could happen here and how people would react to it. We're going to have a bit of reaction, of course, as well. We're recording this on Monday at 11 a.m. about the German election. We're going to talk about that with great ignorance, but confidence, I hope.
I can supply both of those things.
And Patreon only. What happened, Dom? You know your song about Ofcom?
Yeah.
This is how you know you've made it, is when other comedians are getting sent songs by comedians that I know. So one of my mates said, oh, I fucking love this. And they often say to me things like, you got to check out this guy. I was like, fuck you, man. I know this guy
it's
comes on my
so phone. Annoying. It's so annoying being sent by other comics, particularly if it's good.
Yes, well, no, it's very good. So you got this song about Ofcom and all the words that you're not allowed to say. So we'll tease a bit of that in the main show, but for the Patreon only, we'll play the full thing and also ask, who the fuck are Ofcom? Who are Ofcom and who gives them their power? Okay, patrons. No new patrons, but I guess I did a show Friday, so we covered them there. So just to remind you that Patreon, if you're a Patreon member, you get the podcast early, ad-free, and with bonus content. And On Wednesday, there's the patron-only episode where people get to submit questions which I answer, and that happens every single month. So if you want all that good stuff, get involved. David Domain, our super patron who keeps an eye on previous week's discussions, he's picked up on the low fuel price comparison websites. I didn't know there was a website for this, but well, who would you say, Dom, were the cheapest of the supermarkets for petrol?
I have no idea, but I'm going to guess Morrison's.
Okay. Asda and Sainsbury. Sainsbury used to be quite high rent once upon a time. What happened to Sainsbury?
I don't know. They've gone down market, haven't they? They were just a notch down from Waitrose at one point, weren't they? And they're now like beneath Tesco's.
They're the sort of like the Burberry of supermarkets. Although I think Burberry have sort of priced themselves out of Chav's budgets again now to try and get their call. So maybe Sainsbury will do that. Is it Sainsbury's? We often pluralise supermarkets when they don't need it. So Asda isn't Asda's. It's just Asda.
I don't think that's pluralising. I think it's the Anglo-Saxon genitive. So it's saying of Sainsbury.
Yeah, so it's their name. But Asda, I don't think Asda's someone's name, but people naturally go, like, it was a very working class thing. It's like, oh, just going up Asda's. And I used to say, Mum, it's not Asda's. It's just Asda.
What does Asda stand for? The Alliance of Social...
Democratic arseholes. That's a new conference. That's happening next week. Tesco and Morrison's are close behind, but Texaco tends to have the cheapest fuel. That surprises me. I would have thought Shell generally seemed to come in lower. Service stations obviously charge a lot more owing to relative lack of competition. Yeah, if you're on a motorway and you need petrol, need petrol. Regarding porridge, so we were talking about, I tried to start a campaign to name and shame overly priced functional food, not dining out, just food that you have to eat on the move. So the example that I gave was I was in Pret and they charged £3.75 for fucking porridge, right? As a working comic, Dom, I'm sure you'd have had experiences recently of paying hand over fist for something that should be cheap.
Yeah. I mean, like service stations, I almost think there is a philosophical case for shoplifting from service stations because they are such a ripoff. I've long argued that it's justified to bunk fares on London Transport because the charges are so extortionate. There is a slight case for that, but I'm just trying to think, my kind of go-to food in service stations is biltong or jerky, beef jerky, because it's kind of healthy. But like a packet of that, £3, £4, it's just too
protein much. Costs a lot. If you're doing the protein thing like grenade bars compared to normal chocolate bars,
yeah,
they're about £3.25 because I don't know how many fucking peas that you have to farm until you can get enough pea protein to put in something that's pretending to be.
It's a pea farm the size of Wales.
That used to be the measurement, didn't it? Size of Wales. Forests getting cut down. We're always measured by the size of Wales. The problem is, though, I have toyed with the idea of doing packed lunches to go on the road, but it just feels so sad.
Oh, no.
But there's something so sad about packed lunches, just making it and then sitting in the service station car park, just eating it on your own. Most people think. Okay, the thank you and the fuck you. The thank you is to everyone listening to Times Radio. So I've done it 3 weeks now. The numbers are up. They've been up every week compared to, I don't know, what it was before. But there's a thing there, Dom, called the worm, where you can sort of see based on the apps and the measurable listening numbers what's happening. And it's so hard not to look at it. It's really hard not to look at it.
Remainer Radio, Jeff. I wouldn't have thought you'd be on Remainer Radio.
But that's why I'm there, mate. See, diversity. But I tell you, every time I make a little, not even a pro-Brexit point, but just kind of slightly question the idea. You know, like they always say that Brexit was a total disaster, and they've been very successful at pegging the words total disaster. I sort of tease the idea that maybe it just hasn't gone that well. Total disaster seems a bit extreme to me. But if I say that, you should see the message boards light up the moment that I remind them of my voting habits. It can. But that's what I'm there for, you know, to pierce the bubble by suggesting it's only been quite bad versus terrible.
So let me see if you notice this. Times Radio with Jeff Norcott.
Yeah, people will recognise your
voice. I'm the station voice of Times Radio.
You are. And when you say Times Radio,
Times Radio.
But you get so much going on in your voice. And then I have to come on and talk and go, hello and welcome.
Hello.
There's I want to learn how to do that to get a bit more bass in my voice. But
get close to the mic and talk quietly.
Ah, what? And they do the rest in post.
No, just it all happens. The closer you go to the mic and the more quietly you speak, the more resonance you get.
There you go. Well, there's a tip. There's a tip for all of us. I'll be doing that next week. But then it would sound like the late night love. You remember the thing on the, those FM radio stations? But yeah, people, it's very different from the podcast. Obviously, Times Radio, I think, is Ofcom regulated. So I've got to be a bit of a host and a bit balanced in some respects. So I will always be able to be my most candid on the podcast. But thank you to everyone for listening to that. I'm sort of enjoying, you know, it's my Friday now, Dom. I used to be a gigging guy and now I go to London Bridge. Mm-hmm. And I sit and I talk for 3 hours.
Congratulations. Great gig.
Thank you. Well, yes, well, you should come down and do a song for us. We often finish with a song, so if you're up for it.
Yeah, London Bridge is convenient for me, so yeah, I'd love to.
Cool, there you go. This is how we do business on the golf course, ladies and gentlemen. Now, the fuck you from Dominic Frisby.
Yeah, well, viewers of the station, viewers of this podcast will note that I've actually stripped off and taken my jumper off in order to give this FU, and that is because the thought of it has brought me out into something of a sweat. And I was going to do an FU from my personal life, but I think that's probably not called for. So I am going to do an FU to all the people out there who have overlooked me and my potential.
Everyone. Okay. So to where? How far back does this go? Does this go to, did you ever have a careers teacher? Because that's where it often starts, doesn't it?
I'm going to say 25 years.
25.
I've been overlooked. I've been even been overlooked for jury service. That's how like overlooked.
Sorry, we're not looking for men of your type now. We're kind of looking for.
I'm 55. I'm reasonably educated bloke. Surely I could have at least got jury service. I haven't even got that.
Who did get it? Was it another comedian? Just to really drill it in.
Yeah, it's probably Nish Kumar.
I was thinking about careers teachers. I always thought it was funny that. You know when people go on like Graham Norton type shows?
Yeah.
And they will say, yeah, well, you know, I always wanted to be a drummer and I went to see my careers teacher and they said, oh, maybe you'd be better off being an accountant. Well, look, here I am. And I always sort of think, well, broadly speaking, the careers teacher was right. You know, if you're playing the percentages of people that want to be drummers, you and you smug prick sitting there, this poor fucking careers teacher sitting there. That's the sad thing, Dom, is mostly people do have to crush people's dreams.
Yeah.
You know, certainly when you're younger.
It's good to get in the habit young and then at least it becomes normalised.
But you're getting fucking like Elon Musk, millions of views for your stuff. But yeah.
Well, he's not overlooking me. So he's good. He's a good guy.
Well, there you go. The most richest and one of the most famous men in the world. He's your commissioner now.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to politics. And we're going to talk about Keir Starmer and his high stress, high stakes visit to the White House. So, yes, Keir Starmer, as things stand, is going to the White House on Thursday. So I think the Polish leader was there yesterday, Sunday. Macron's there today. And then Starmer's there Thursday. So he's not high up the list. But the main thing I'm thinking, Dom, is the stress of the prep for that must be massive. Not just because the stakes with European security and all of the other things that are going on with Russia. Just the stress of how much could go wrong. If at some point you have to stand next to Donald Trump, so unpredictable, he could just humiliate you in front of the world and it could go down as a historical mugging off. I think about the stress that I felt the very first show I was doing of Times Radio, right? For a few weeks leading up to it, it was building. I felt inflamed. I felt my joints were inflamed. Everything was more stress than usual. I don't really have a reference point for what it feels like when you're flying to America. What would you do? How would it affect your brain?
Do you think he's that? Because you've obviously seen all the tweets where he slagged off Donald Trump.
I have, yes. Most Labour front benchers have had a pop, yeah.
Those must have been sent to Trump. Somebody must have shown those to Trump. So I'm asking myself, is he sat there going, do I mention the tweets? Do I apologise for the tweets?
Just before we start, Donald, I just want to say that is my idea of banter, and I may have gone too far with some of it. You can say whatever you want to me. In that press conference, you could call me a dwarf because I'm much shorter than you. Like, does he ask Kiss on that level?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I'm being quoted out of context.
It was a long time ago. I was a much younger man. And by younger man, I mean in my mid-50s rather than my early 60s.
You think he's going with Lammy?
Well, Lammy has interestingly just disappeared from view almost completely at this time of high international stakes. I don't think that's a coincidence. And also, I think the rumour is that Keir Starmer's realised how difficult it is to get stuff done at home. And he's realised that there might be a couple of big wins away from home. So he's getting on those fucking planes, boy.
It's going to be so... Like, Trump's obviously got to meet him. The fact that he's been relegated below Poland is pretty telling in itself.
Is Trump just doing it on GDP per capita? I think Poland's GDP per capita has overtaken us. Maybe that's...
Maybe it is, but like, I think Trump's, like, he's pretty magnanimous, Trump. And I think, you know, they'll come away from the meeting and Trump will go, yeah, yeah, we met with Keir and Keir's a great guy. And he'll do all that thing he always says and find a positive. Whether behind the scenes, what actually goes on, I don't know. But Trump's, you know, he's pretty generous to his, given how people have spoken about him, I think he's actually can be quite generous to those.
But he likes the zeal of the convert, doesn't he? People, yeah. Because there's a tariff on that. This guy once thought I was a Nazi. Now he thinks I'm a top bloke. It is really funny, like watching. I watched a couple of Labour front benches doing the weekend rounds, and Bridget Phillipson had to sort of praise Trump. They've obviously got a strict orders to try and find something positive that you can say. And she was going, he bought Putin to the table. He bought Putin. That was, she sort of scoured her mind and said, what's the one thing that I could say that sounds like a compliment that isn't a flat lie against what I think? I would have then said, yeah, and do you think that was good? Do you think it went well? Bridget, it's just so tricky. I don't think that there's a party that could be in power that wouldn't find this tricky. I think even if reform were the government, you know, there are difficult things about the way that Trump has approached the issue of Ukraine. But I do view politics on a personal level, and I think that the prep, what are they doing as prep for this? How much are they workshopping with Keir as to what could happen in these meetings or what could happen when they appear together in public?
I don't know, because apparently a thing that Trump used to do when he was doing an interview with you is he would, without telling you you have bad breath, he would tell you you have bad breath by passing you one of those, do you know, remember those spray things you used to spray to get, and he'd just like, have a go on that. And pass you one of those. And apparently he used to do that. And so they sat there with Keir going, brush your teeth, gargle, don't have any garlic.
Here's a Claret, the breath freshener with Actizol. I don't even know if those are still on sale.
And if he passes you the spray, don't worry.
Would they go as far as getting a very good Trump impersonator in? That would have been quite funny if it comes out that they were just sitting there doing role play, getting Matt Ford in. So, I mean, they're mates, aren't they?
That's why
Matt Ford could have done a real solid to Keir Starmer, is to just sit there and do like improv classes with him and go, okay, I'm now going to say something about your wife. I mean, that there is a high possibility. So Trump has said before how much he admires his wife's beauty. You know, if he says it in that way, it's probably fine. If he's a bit more loose-lipped about it, her in that red dress, oh boy. I just, look, seriously, I've got loads of issues with Keir Starmer, but this week of all weeks, I do not envy him one fucking bit.
What most people think.
We talk about DOGE now, the Department of Government Efficiency. So Elon Musk has been taking a chainsaw, right? Because he likes an on-the-nose metaphor. Get it? He's been taking a chainsaw to various overspending. And a lot of people were kind of like, well, there's some good stuff being cut. But equally, when you're spending £1.5 million on Serbian diversity, that may well be the exception that proves the rule. But if the exception exists, people are going to start wondering about the rule, right? So I'm not surprised that this stuff is happening. They said it was going to happen. They said they were going to scrutinise all government spending. They do have like a debt to GDP ratio of beyond 125%, I think. So at some point, someone's got to do something, right? But then he went as far as saying that all federal employees had to email sort of proving what they'd done in the last week. Or do you know what he said, Dom?
Yeah, they sent a basic questionnaire and the federal employees had to reply in with what they've done. But the reasoning behind that was because there are loads of federal employees who are dead. And there's a scam going on where they're using dead people and still collecting the dollar. And so it's a way of weeding that out.
Who's collecting the dollar, though? Is it
somebody, what do you call it, identity fraud or identity theft or something like that. And so, you know, it's a huge weeding out process, and it's quite an efficient weeding out process. I think they've actually awarded promotion to some people who've responded going, I've done this, that, and the other. And they've given them, right, that's great.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say some of the dead people have been promoted.
Well, there's probably somebody who's replied from the dead. But I've still got access to my dad's emails. So, you know, I could reply and pretend I'm Terence Frisby. Somebody's impersonated Terence Frisby on Facebook. So I think that was one of the reasons. Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, anything that those guys do, their ideological opponents are going to get their knickers in a twist, and their ideological supporters are going to think it's wonderful. But I think there is a rationale behind what he did. Elon Musk is very, very, like all the companies he runs, he's able to run them on much tighter budgets than the competitors. And it's one of the reasons his companies have been so successful, because he's got his eyes focused on what the eventual target is, and anything that's irrelevant, he's able to weed out. And he's just applying that same mentality to the deep state and DEI and the government and all the rest of it at a time when the left are completely disorientated. They're on the ropes. They've been beaten up. They don't quite know what's going on. They're not unified. So he's basically punching them when they're down. You know, I don't think a lot of this was planned. It's just happening. And as it's happened, he's just seen more and more opportunity to do more and more. And, you know, I can't see that anyone who doesn't want taxpayer money wasted on crap and anyone who doesn't want corruption has any objection to this.
Well, I mean, so the email that he sent saying that people had to kind of email back and prove they were or say what they'd achieved in the last week, apparently Tulsi Gabbard told her employees or people working under her to ignore it. So there are sort of splits in the Republican movement. I guess that there will be a lot of people that lose their jobs, and those will be Democrat and Republican voters. So there will be, you know, can't, you know, omelet without breaking eggs kind of thing.
It's not just the dead people. There are people who just don't reply to their emails. Most of Lewisham Council, for example. And this is a way of stopping that.
No, I absolutely think that there are people absolutely fucking sponging a living. There's absolutely, you know, what's the word for it? Blagging a living? There's a
ligging, sponging. You know, they're taking the state dollar and not delivering any work.
There is a lot of that, but there's also, it's not a zero-sum game. If those people, a lot of those people lose their jobs, you have people on benefit. That's my only point, is if you take a big scythe, you could end up with a much bigger benefits bill. And the problem is that those people have already shown that they're not that motivated to work. So the idea that they're going to go straight down the job centre is also a big question.
I'm not sure how generous American benefits are compared to what we're used to.
I mean, I suppose that is the point, is what where the DEI gravy train is starting to slow down. I think it slowed down very quickly in the States. I do think it'll take longer to slow down here. I don't know why.
We don't have an Elon Musk. Two, it's much more entrenched. The American state's relatively new. You know, Britain, this is just totally entrenched. It's so hard to clear out.
Well, but do you think there'll be a reckoning? Because the problem is like, if you look at the USA thing, is that a lot of the objectives were noble. And there are things that have been cut that will cause suffering. But
Rory Stewart's wife giving lectures on why a dirty urinal is modern art to Afghani peasants.
Well, that's the problem. Is the very existence of those things. If these people who work in those organisations care about aid and about support in developing countries, then you should have looked down your expenditure at some point and thought, will the American taxpayer support us investing in diversity in the Serbian workplace? That is the thing that could get funding cut for other stuff, because politically, that's what we forget in this country. We forget the American politicians have to sell things to the American people. And when your debt is, what, $37 trillion now, and debt to GDP is, as I say, over 125%, unless you've got, like, something has got to change at some point, right? Because debt interest is now a big part of a lot of Western economies' outgoings. But, it might be a tough period, and there might be a lot of people out of work, at least for the short term.
I'm pretty ruthless about this, Jeff, and normally I try and be agreeable, but, like, so much of this culture war between left and right, like the right is funded by, you know, their own business activities and their own whatever they do. And the left is funded by government money. So the right, even though they're taking the battle to them, I really resent this. When you pay tax, you are funding something that you don't agree with. So your labor is being taken from you without your choice, and it's used to spend on things you do not agree with. And often, you by working, you are funding your ideological opponents. And I just object to that. And if something has a right to exist, it should exist in the free market. That doesn't necessarily mean it should be profitable, but if it's a charity that deserves to exist, then it should be able to survive on its own merit through donation. It shouldn't be subsidized. I just do not like subsidy of any kind. I think subsidy destroyed the arts. It's destroyed the theatre. And, you know, charity is so bent. It is one of the most bent industries in the world. And there is a direct correlation between government funding and corruption. And so if you get rid of one, you get rid of the other.
Okay. Well, I think that's a good point to remind you that you can email the show. I think those are interesting. It's an interesting debate to have. What most people think, UK@gmail.com. And if you feel as angry as Don, remember that you can withhold your taxes, or you could just nick something from a service station. Just a quick hype here. If you go to my new tour, Basic Bloke 2, There's No Bloke Without Fire, the most ridiculous title of any comedy show ever. What do you think of that, Dom? Given a comedy show a sequel billing.
Why did you call it that?
Because I just thought it was so ridiculous, because I sort of thought I enjoyed doing the Basic Bloke tour. And then I was thinking, you know, like some of these guys have a pun in their title, like, that's the way, aha, aha, Joe likes it. I thought there's no way for me to pun Jeff Norcott. But if I sort of create the pun, so if I went Basic Bloke 2, first up, I thought it was funny giving it a sequel because that's so preposterous, it's a fucking ridiculous idea. And then I thought I'd give it one of those 90s subtitles, like, you know, Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
Yeah.
Or Basic Bloke 2, There's No Bloke Without Fire. It sounds like one of those 90s films.
Yeah.
It's utterly ridiculous. You know, in my Edinburgh entry, the title of my show has taken up almost all of the available 40-word word count, so I can barely say anything about the show.
Are you doing the underbelly again?
Yeah, I am. That was such a diplomatic there, where you sort of, I've heard you, Jeff.
And, well, change the subject. No, I'll tell you what it was. I was trying to think of a better one, and I couldn't.
The bloke's gone too far this time. The bloke's on you.
There's no bloke without fire. I quite like There's No Bloke Without Fire. It's memorable. It stands out. I think it'll work. Mm. The other thing I was trying to think of is That's the Way, Joe Lice It. I think that's a really good title. But I was trying to think of something similar for Jeff Norcott, and I think and there must be something that Jeff Norcott sounds like.
It doesn't. It's the name equivalent of the word orange. But if you wanna see Basic Bloke 2, there's
lozenge.
No, Basic Bloke 2, There's No Bloke Without Fire. Sounds like something Channing Tatum should be in.
Yeah, it does.
And Jason Statham.
Anyway, I like it.
Thank you, mate. That's the way. Aha, aha. Dom likes it. So if you want to join, get on the mailing list for that, do go to jeffnorcott.co.uk, and there's a button right in the middle of the screen and you can join the mailing list and you can get priority booking. There's a few remaining work in progresses that starts next week. I think Grimsby hasn't sold out yet. Sheffield, Witham Castle is close to selling out. Luton, there's a few left. Pretty much, I think 15 of them are sold out, and there's 5 with a few tickets left. So do go to Live Nation and check there. And Dom, is there any live dates or anything you want to hype?
Yeah, I've got loads, actually, because I'm doing a sort of mini tour over the spring. But this Saturday, I'm in a place called Cholsey Hall near Oxford, and there's a few tickets left for that. That's this Saturday. And then next Saturday, I'm in Birmingham, and they're at the Glee, and there's like 5 tickets left for that. And then I've got various other dates and a big one in London at the Backyard called the Mid-Year Review in May.
So that's a good title.
Thank you. Frisbees.news is where you find it all. FRISBYS.news. Frisbees.news. And you can find all my dates there.
Okay, do go and check Dom Live. It's an absolutely fantastic show. Okay, we're going to unpack the results of the German election here, as we say, with no skill or real understanding. So,
but with confidence.
Yeah, with utter confidence, you know, entitlement, privilege even. The elections happened yesterday, and the CDU, who is sort of like the Conservative Party, I guess the closest equivalent in Germany, they got just under 30%. The AfD, as predicted, came second with about 20%. And then I think a couple of the parties that were previously in coalition lost a lot of support. I think the Greens lost a lot of support as well, which was interesting. I suppose the question is, right, is there, that, you know, it's permanent coalition in Germany. The last coalition was a coalition of 3 parties that no one liked. And a lot of those parties will now find themselves back in coalition because of the way German politics work. They don't want to deal with the AfD. The question I wonder, if given like the economic sort of inertia of Germany, low growth and recession, Should the AfD have done better, really? Because you think with all the attacks, all the noise about kind of refugees and asylums, illegal migration, will there be some people in the AfD that will look at 20% and be surprised that they didn't do better?
I think so. Again, I don't know that much about German politics, but I gather the young were very, very pro-AfD, in a bit like the way that the young were very pro-Corbyn 8 years ago, mm-hmm. whatever it was. And even though they made a lot of noise on social media, that didn't actually translate into votes because of, you know, the large, silent, older majority. And I think that large, older, silent majority in Germany has probably still got, you know, lingering memories of the consequences of previous far-right parties and doesn't want to enable this one. I'm not saying this one is, you know, another Hitler. I'm not saying that for a second, but I imagine that thought will have occurred to lots of voters. And that's why,
I know what you're saying. If there was a train line and the final stop was Hitler, this party are further down that track than the CDU. They're a few stops further down the line, but they're not.
You're the Piccadilly line and the destination is Arnos Grove. You know, the AfD are Osterley, while, you know, the CDU is still Heathrow Terminal 4.
Oh, man, thanks for rescuing that. Why I'm using a train analogy gag in relation to the Nazis, I'll never know. Yeah, I mean, like the young, it was interesting with Corbyn because in 2017 they were pitched to like never before, right?
Yeah.
Grime for Corbyn. A lot of celebrities came out. And the actual uplift in the young vote was 1.5%.
Right.
And I remember I made a joke on the MASH report where I said, typical millennials, they couldn't even be asked to turn up for their own statistic, which I really enjoyed.
That's very good.
And reshared many times. That was when millennials were the young ones. Fucking hell, that was a while ago now. I mean, what are the AfD? I just don't know how much they're gonna say about it. I mean, they could say we're going to build a wall, but they did that in Germany before, didn't they? So people won't want to go back to walls.
I think Germany is also very divided east and west.
Yeah, if you look at the map, it's very, the AfD support is very concentrated in the east.
Yeah, which is telling in itself. You know, they probably don't have such an issue with the far right having lived under the far left for, you know, 40 or 50 years, however long they're, 40 years it would be. So, you know, that's an issue. But, you know, European politics and to an extent British politics has been designed almost so that the design is protected, and it's just very, very hard to win outside of a coalition. It's just very, very difficult. So the system is almost designed to protect the system. And I'm sorry, but economically, it just means more and more atrophy. It's interesting that the Greens lost loads of vote. You know, German industrial might, a lot of it was built on cheap Russian natural gas, which has gone away. And a lot of that, you know, there's a correlation. The more wind power that a country has, the more expensive its electricity is. There's a direct correlation. And, you know, German electricity costs are almost as expensive as ours. And so, you know, that will be an issue for a lot of Germans. And I just think that whole green narrative now, it's been debunked so many times. I just don't think it has the same power that it had, you know, 15 years ago.
And now I'm going to quote literally something I heard from a podcast and make out like it's my own opinion that I somehow came up with. And of course, Germany still has a strong manufacturing base, so they're more exposed to fossil fuel hikes in prices, Dom.
Absolutely right, Jeff. How did you know that? It does have a strong manufacturing
Someone
base.
Someone else said it. That's how I know it. Like most things.
But it is not what it was. And I think if you were to trace Germany's problems, they pretty much go all the way back to the reunification.
I think the interesting thing about our perception, or certainly in a kind of certain corner of the liberal bubble, for a long, long time, we always look longingly, enviously towards France and Germany to an extent. But the more I speak to people about Germany, the more I find out is they've got so many of the same problems. Like their trains are not good. They have similar problems with cancellations and delays. What's their equivalent of national rail?
The Bundesbahnhof, I don't know.
The Bundesbahnhof.
Israel.
Yeah, I reckon that the German stand-up comics make jokes about that in the same way we used to make about British Rail. The problem with us now is we can't make jokes about a singular rail entity because they've all got different companies.
Oh, no.
We used to have to go, oh, British Rail. But over there, they're still going, oh, the old Bundesbahnhof, eh? Have you ever tried the sandwiches on those?
I tell you, when I went to Germany, what really annoyed me, this is in Berlin, is that whereas, like, when a tube comes into the station in London, you've got to be pretty quick getting on the tube, otherwise the door's shut and it's gone. The doors just stay open. It's like they're borders. The doors just stay open for ages and anyone can come in and out. And it's like, come on, get on with it. Close the doors. Let's leave. But they stay on the platform for ages. So if they want to get their trains on time, just get out the station quicker, mate.
Yeah, and Angela Merkel in the carriage going, come on, there's plenty of room. In you come. We can do this.
What must people think?
Okay, we're now going to, in the patron only, we're going to talk about Dominic Frisby's brilliant song about Ofcom. And to lead us into that, we'll have a quick grab of the intro to that song. And then the patrons, you'll hear the rest of the song. And then we'll talk about who the fuck are Ofcom.
Who knows Ofcom? They have a list of 186 words that you are not allowed to say.
It was nice knowing you, Frizzard.
Okay, so yes, if you want to hear Dom's song in full, if you're not a patron, then do go to YouTube or any of Dom's sites. Follow him on social media, like, subscribe, go to his tour show and all that stuff. And Dom, thanks very much for appearing on What Most People Think.
Thank you very much for having me, Jeff. It's always a pleasure talking to you, and keep up doing what you're doing. You're a great guy and you're a great comedian, and thank God you're here.
Oh, that was so unexpectedly lovely there. Almost had a... You know, I just needed that. I just fucking needed that.
I know you're having a bad morning.
It's written all over my face, isn't it? But then I know, look, what I'll say to you in response, you're doing amazing work. There's people now just turning this off. There's the more blokey listeners go, I'm not fucking listening to this. You're looking great shape. And also, I hope that you can deal with March, despite it being palpably, arguably, the shittest month of the
year. Let's just text each other throughout the month and keep each other going.
Yeah, check in, lads. Check in.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.